First Baptist Church of Redmond, April 27, 2014. Guest speaker, Jim Meyer. Salt and Light.
Please stand. Reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 15. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is being buried for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let me see.
Jeremiah says, well, let's go and speak with some God's word. And in Matthew chapter 5, and again, I know we can pull the slides, but you're up there.
Good morning. I'm not sure if this is pastor to bring your indulgence for just a moment. So, the question to start out: who here is willing to die for Jesus? Morning. Okay, we're slow. Let's just see. Good. I appreciate Pastor giving me the opportunity to speak this morning. There's things that have been going on in the world, going on in our culture. We need to see a lot of it when we go witnessing. There's more and more of these things happening. It just struck me a couple weeks ago that it's an important time to talk about these things, especially in light of the commandment that Jesus has given us here in Matthew 5. So we're going to try to connect a few dots this morning. And Matthew 5, this next section is the Sermon on the Mount, a fantastic section of Scripture, Matthew 5 through 7. We read it out loud again, and we try to get this kind of stuff in here. And many people say, have to read this. And when we say read it on a regular basis, there's always something that you can find and see that you can do and really make it. But this section is interesting because it talks about being the salt of the earth and being light. I think this is an instruction from Jesus that is particularly timely right now. And if we look at this verse, it's, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, actually be seasoned. It's then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. There's a few Bible commentaries that I look at, the older ones, when I wanted to find out more about Scripture and what people have said in the past, and smarter people than I have researched these things. One of the commentaries I have is from Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, and it's part about salt. They have a particular phrase, even if we're talking about the uses of salt, this particular phrase really stuck out to me. It says, to preserve the earth from destruction. The salt is preservative. And so we are supposed to be salt in the earth. There's a reason we're here. I think Pastor said it before. There's a reason that, you know, God doesn't zap us into heaven as soon as we get saved. It's not work for us to do. We're here for a reason. And we're here for God's reasons. And so, needs some encouragements to be salt and light, and to be a preservative for the world, because who's going to speak for God in the world? Because the world races off a cliff to destruction, and people get more and more wicked and worldly. Who is going to be there to warn them from the danger they're in? I decided to gamble and do some technology things this morning. So, we're going to do them early, so that if it blows up, we'll get it out of the way. I saw this, reading about this and seeing this recently, and I actually saw this last night. It's just heartbreaking, but it kind of says where we are. There's a major national or international company that commercial recently. So this is wholesome. And basically, it's about creating and joining your products. Companies will have to associate themselves and their products with, you know, wholesome, in this case, American families and other things. And so there's a documentary here, and you can read documentaries about all the families, 30 seconds, 15 seconds, this one's actually a little under 2 minutes. So they might get along with one. Now, what I'm showing this.
Trying to describe my parents. My dad, he liked a smart one and everything. And then my papa would be, he's a funny one. We all got time for each other, so we'll always have dinner together. We'll always share our best and worst of the day. It's usually hard to come up with a worst.
None of it seemed real until we were matched with the birth mother and when they did an ultrasound. I just remember feeling like that was our kid. We're kind of a traditional guy. Marriage and a family and having kids was always the best. We met in line at the coffee shop. Who knew that week that I was going to marry? What's interesting is you said you knew you were going to marry, but that wasn't even in our
model. Just having a mortgage together was what marriage was to be.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought.
One of my favorite memories of my family is the coffee. I really just can't wait until I disappear.
Does this feel so much more meaningful as parents than it felt before? It's almost overwhelming.
There you go.
Did you got that one from me? You have a smile on your face. The problem with this is, can you tell that kid in 4 or 20 years, 15 years from now, about what you call it, sentence? You know, putting faith in Jesus. How do you do that? How do you make a sentence out? And how can you think of what a beautiful unpacking this family? So, as you can imagine, there's some reaction in this video. And a lot of people have sent messages and emails complaining about this, saying this is wrong. And so, when you look at a company in Nabisco, maker of Oreos and all sorts of other things, they took the unusual step of making a follow-up commercial in response to the responses that they got.
I'd like to show you that.
Says, you are not love. Not love. A major corporation felt perfectly comfortable telling its customers that they are not love. So what do you see? It's amazing. This is not some kind of company, it's not some new company, it's not some web company, it's not a disco. It's not a disco. Tell me what family is. If you don't like what a family is, you are hateful. You are the opposite of love. The interesting stat in the whole thing is that they have more than 10 times as many positive comments. So we can see where things are going. It's a different certain part of the world, and you know, ultimately it's a big company, and you know, but you know, at least you have some place to go to. You can make political statements that people are going to find, but this becomes to your point. According to the Associated Press, about a month or so ago, the Republican Party of Nevada removed from their party platform objections to gay marriage. They removed their plank on traditional marriage. They also removed their plank on opposing abortion. They were the first to do this. The Republican Party of Indiana also did this back in 2012. That's why it wasn't occurring. Why do we do this? Well, people also want to look to us. Pew Research found that 61% of Republicans between the ages of 18 and 29 support gay marriage. 61%. That's a sizable percentage of people. So, if you think that we are the place that we can find, that is true. This is pervasive. I found some videos of a company that makes games for kids. Other than math and you know, all this educational stuff, but in which parts of the world are college kids all this stuff. One of the videos, though, was talking about how cool it was that, you know, change for the two dads. Examples of the birds in the tree, two boy birds and two girl birds, and you have these things. The company said that they market their videos for toddlers and preschoolers. So people grow up with this and see these screened, and someone says this is wrong. But all this is important. So people go, okay, how can all these Christians just keep building up the future? Well, to recap, the only true Christians have tried to overturn Proposition 8 in California. The only true Christians that sought to overturn the methods of marriage. It wasn't true Christians that sued small business owners who wanted to provide services to contradict their women's rights. It wasn't true Christians that tried to develop gays and divorce laws. It's not true Christians that they're doing this. So, we have been looking for a fight, and we just have a problem. But the fight's been coming to us. And so why is this important? You have to look at this in terms of the Bible. Because, you know what? We haven't been talking about a whole host of issues for a number of years. With that divorce, fornication, intoxication, that's been a problem for a long time. And so what I remember when we started out, saying, well, you know, people doing the privacy of their own thing, their business doesn't affect me. It doesn't mean a business man. And it obviously affects the way people think of you, and corporations think of you. And apparently a whole bunch of people agree with them. And so, why don't I just cover something in Romans chapter 1 as well, because it's relevant here. It's funny, I was reading something the other day, and we're talking about a theology professor, I think from Princeton, and we're talking about this subject. It's like, you know what? I can't find any verses in the Bible that say anything about this. That could be, you know, I don't know what everybody's all upset about for having the, you know, the scripture and do all this stuff to make this point. Well, when we read a couple of verses, Romans 1, verse 36 and 47, covers this pretty clearly. And once you do this, maybe you can go apply to be a professor at Princeton because you know more than this guy. But we have to look at this in context. The context here is extraordinarily important. In this section of Romans 1, starting in verse 18, my little chapter here, and it talks about unbelief and its consequences. And this is the point. So starting in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, suppressing the truth. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them that they know God exists. But since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. You see the cast on how things have been made. For even though they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculation. And their foolish heart was blinded. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and the birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures, creation, earthly things. Therefore, it's an important word, as a result of these things, as a result of people denying God, thinking they're smarter than God, not honoring God, not praising God, here it comes. Verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among themselves. Fornication. Amen. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served a creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And then the Lord, 26. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For the women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. They could have done this a whole bunch of other awful things that people would do. But understand what's going on here. This is a progression. When people move on out of the way, when they believe their own story, when they elevate man's nature of who God loves them, above God, and worship them, there are consequences for that. People degrade their bodies, lusts, impurity, fornication. We've certainly seen that over the past few decades in particular. It's natural, right? It used to be something that you look and would. Two people that are unmarried by a regular partner, you know, I'm not even going to want that sort of thing here. And then you more, you don't even think of that. People say, unmarried people talk about, oh, you want a second child on you. And so it's not. You think that you're going to lay the salt in that. How these things happen. And so now we're on to the next thing. We have these degrading passions. We have a form of sexuality. And so understand that this isn't just some random sin that is more popular now. It shows something. It shows something. He believes in from abandoned judgment. Has God abandoned the people, held back his protection from them, and let them indulge in their sins, turn them over to a depraved mind. So it's not an accident that this is going on. It's not an accident that this is the issue that people are dealing with. It's coming up and being used at the level. We should have happiness. This is even happening in what's supposed to be the Christian church, certainly in America. Evangelicals, this may be surprising, according to Barna, make up about 8% of America. 8%. Single digits. People that actually believe that in what it says. Only 49% of evangelical Christians under 30 have any opposition to getting that wrong. The minority think it's wrong. That's the future of the American church. I saw a thing story ABC News, and they have that's where these numbers came from. About the church in New York City. you were talking about the movement of the evangelical subsiding into the soccer. If you're going to be pastor of one of these churches, you have to look like you spent a few years at MTV first for them to go over and destroy your church. And so, Christians out there. And this is kind of the danger of getting too attached to these contemporary Christian celebrities and things like this. Because you know what? When it comes down to choosing between the world and choosing God, so often you see people choosing the world and they love the world. Jars of clay. Christian contemporary band. Recently, their lead singer, Dan Hazeltine, tweeted about this issue of homosexual marriage. He's not opposed to homosexual marriage. But his Christians are able to be able to deal with it. He has some interesting comments that he tweeted. One of them that stuck out. I don't think Scripture clearly states much of anything regarding morality. Just if you don't open the book and read it. He went on to say, I think the vast interpretation has left room for people to feel inhumanly and unlovingly, as we saw in our video, toward others that don't fit their guidelines, apparently he missed these are God's guidelines. And I don't particularly care about Scripture's stance on what is wrong. I care more about how it says we should treat people. And according to the world, the only thing to do is let people do what they want. That's what we do every night. Boy, he was looking for a fight. And he was able to memorize two-thirds of the Bible and put it in, and then they had nice to say about God. And he said, well, where's this loving God? Why would he send somebody to hell? And so I asked him, well, what did the Bible say about God itself? He said, okay, I'll help you. The Bible says that God demonstrated his own love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how we show this love. But despite the difference in the world, he still offers salvation and forgiveness and regeneration to those who would have it. But the world's idea of love is getting away with sin. There's another gentleman, Ken Wilson, who's a pastor of a church in Michigan, Ann Arbor. Wilson, 62, states that he had opposed homosexuality for much of his life, including when he launched the church in the 1970s. However, with the turn of the century, his views began to change as he discussed the matter with members whose family members were homosexual. So instead of telling them the truth that God can forgive him and change him and change their desires, Wilson claims that in 2011, God told him to write a letter to his congregation to explain that he was rethinking his position on homosexuality. Who was rethinking his position? God or his God? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he doesn't change his definition of sin to accommodate people. After a strong nudge from Jesus, he asserted. The Bible says we should test every spirit to make sure that we're not. So the church you think of as a Christian church in America is that. It's world pleasing. It's inspirational. Who's the name of some of these churches? American Christian churches, Christian churches have the best marketing you've ever seen. They don't see the Buddhist with their cool games and light shows. But so the American Christians learn how to market. And if we're talking about sin specifically, it's like, oh, well, we've all sinned. Well, yeah, no, I'm not perfect. We're talking about specific sin. Because then people might not show up at the building. Because the evangelism is turned into killing. And then it tears into the church as possible. And I don't know what, but it's so funny. If the wolves revenge the cat, the wolves will revenge it. And so, in order to do that, in order to keep the wolves in the church, you have to tell them that they're not wolves. You have to tell them that they're saved in the cat. And then Jesus is just about making you feel good, solving your problems, getting back into work, and fighting for your kids, blah, 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 blah. It isn't for repentance. It isn't about saving us from pain. Because that's why Jesus came and died for us, and raised and made and conquered death. If you come into a culture who has been abandoned by God, but loves sin, has been turned over to their sin, you're going to tell them to turn from their sin. It's a good way to wrap up in the face of the world. You can be careful with this. It's the wrath of the salt in the light. In order to be able to deal with this, to meet the people of God, we have to watch what we're doing. We have to make sure we're not too close to the world. 2002 Barner Research, and this is actually dated, and it hasn't gotten any better. Christians spend 7 times as much entertainment as they do on spiritual activities. Although 2/3 of all teenagers say they know the basic teachings of the Christian faith, 2/3 reject the existence of Satan, 3/5 reject the existence of the Holy Spirit, well, if you don't have any evidence, so probably pretty easy to reject it. 5 believe that Jesus sinned. 9% of born-again teenagers are uncertain. Excuse me. Only 9% of born-again teenagers are certain of the existence of absolute moral truth. That's the only thing. Well, this is the philosophy of the world. Truth is what you make. Truth is for every individual. This is the one thing. In a representative nationwide survey, only born again adults, 9 of the individuals interviewed said that the single most important goal in their life is to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ. 0. How can we be salt in the world? How can we be the light that people see? That Jesus isn't our priority. The danger is getting caught up in the world. And it's easy to do. It's easy to do. Right? We have work, we have the things we want to do, we want to go to our house, we want our kids to go to college. We want to do all these things. And so the lure of the world is incredibly strong. And so we're going to spend our time doing entertainment things in this time. Because there's also, before I said, I used to watch a lot of TV, I used to watch a lot of stuff. And that's what I'm doing. And it's funny, because I have God saying to me, I'm doing so much to do, I'm going to figure out how to get it all done. And so if we're willing to do things for God, He's about to put His word for us. And it's like, there's a reason we're still here. There's a reason we're still here. But we fill our time with the things of the world. We have a world's perspective. Right? Why do young people think that there's going to be absolute truth? Supposed Christian young people, why are they opposed to the church's bans on homosexuality and other things? In the church, in the Christian church, the word about the leaders, 18 to 29 year olds leaving the church. Some of the reasons they said they were leaving is because of feelings that the church was overprotective the perception of judgmental attitudes around sex and sexuality, points and habits, how it depends on me. This is wrong. Remember our verses in Romans 1. Christianity is too exclusive. I'm sorry, it was Jesus who said, according to the truth and the life, you will be the host of the Father, but by me. The church is standing on two other issues that's driving millennials away. 7 in 10 millennials agree that religious groups are alienating young people by being too judgmental and unconvicious. So the world has done a great job impressing its values on young people who claim to be Christian. But so now they have adopted the views of the world. And so we really have to watch what we're doing with our time and what we're doing with our priorities. Because if our priorities look like the priorities of the world, if this is what we're spending our time on, if this is what we're spending our thoughts on, then these things start to become very, very important to us. What are the things we're putting in our heads? What are the things we're saying? What are the jokes we're laughing at? What's the language we're using? What's the priority? There's a great verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. It says, abstain from every form of evil. That is a really simple verse. Abstain from the mirror. Every, some not most, every form of evil. What kind of things do we look at? Do we listen to? Do we talk about? Do we think about? In order to be salt and light, we have to be distinctly different. The thing is, we often don't realize it. But sin, we talk about a society that accepts homosexuality and it's within. It's a political way of doing it. And we hear the stories about churches. We hear that. Unitarian pastor talking about positions and people who oppose homosexuality, he said they were outside of the mainstream of American Christianity. The Unitarian tells you that you're outside of the mainstream of American Christianity to tell you that it says more about American Christianity than it says about you. And so Unitarian, it isn't them, it's us. It's us. We're the oddballs. We're the ones that are being marginalized. We're the ones that don't fit in. We're the ones that look at strangely. And so, in order to deal with that, we have to be strong. If we're going to follow Jesus' command to be right, we have to be strong. Jesus told us, John chapter 3. Verses 19 and 20. Catch this. This is after the famous John 3:16 verses. But catch this. This is the judgment. That the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light. For their works were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and doesn't come to the light. Why? Lest his works would be exposed. You're supposed to be a light on a hill, you're supposed to be a lamp on a stand. People are not going to love that. And so, if we are to follow the commands of Jesus and we are supposed to do these things, you cannot be in the world. You have to go to school. You have to go to work. You have to do these things. But we don't have to be of the world. We don't have the world's priorities. We don't have to behave like that. If people are surprised to find out you're a Christian, a Bible-obeying Christian, that's a problem. The bigger problem is the word Christian doesn't mean anything in this country anymore. So you can say I'm a Christian, but I'm going to say what you believe. Vladimir, my friend, when people in Russia hear about American Christians, what is their opinion? What do they think of when they think of American Christians?
Thank you.
he says, if you have something of hypocrisy, it has been used by other organizations to say, don't listen to them. So it has to be light, and this conception of Christianity tries to help it under a basket because it's so washed out. What do you think about Christians, American Christians in Romania? There it is. And so, this is one of the big things that we're going to have to, steel ourselves for. Because this thing of a Christian is not going to work anymore. Because we were all great. And if they want to spirit out and life that works for you, and God be, oh, yeah, you know, I heard about these Christians going out and doing this, feeding the poor and da 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 da. But it isn't about obedience to God. Are we putting God first? Are we doing that? Right? So, are we ready to go to church on Sunday? What about a busy day on Saturday? Well, you know what? We're doing it a quieter Saturday, so we have the energy to go to church on Sunday. Okay, what are we doing with our spare time? Well, here's what the Bible could discover. You're supposed to read that every day. You're supposed to know your Bible. You're supposed to always have the answer for people. Learn to play an instrument so you can pray to God. To the glory of God. Instead of sitting back and have the world entertain us and the world tell us how to think and desensitize us to sin, who are we having our conversations with? Do we have friends outside of the body of Christ? We're supposed to have contact? We're supposed to share God's word with them? If we're doing that, are we just hanging out with them? Do we want to have some friends? That's the most important. And so, if we're in God's business, those opportunities, we have to take advantage of them. And so, when we face these things, and people talk about these issues, and there's a lot of issues, this isn't just a homosexual issue, like you said, it's fornication, drunkenness, foul language. Well, people we hear kind of tell that some of the foulest language of people are claiming to be Christians. And what do we say? What happens is if someone does that, we just raise our eyebrows. So we have to stand up for these things. Not because we're standing for traditional values or conservative values, but because we're standing up for God. And He says this is how we are supposed to behave. He says that behavior is wrong. And now people are going to know what kind of Christian you are. Well, this is the whole man, it's kind of like well, you know what? So be it. I heard someone say recently, American Christians must be incredibly arrogant. You've got Christians being persecuted all over the world, and they've been persecuted for 2,000 years, and Christians in America don't think that there's going to be any persecution, that they're somehow immune from these things. Well, guess what? If you don't say anything, of course you'll be immune. Keep your head down. Stay in your foxhole, don't get bothered. Because when you speak up, because they hate the light, they hate the light. And we're going to be reminded that it's there. If we're supposed to be a city on a hill, everybody's going to see it. How can we be a light with the city? We have to make sure we're not holding on to the things of the world. Because if we're holding on to the things of the world, the values of the world, the pleasures of the world, the interests of the world, the priorities of the world, how can we stand against the world? Whose side are we on? We're struggling with things. I think we can be a warrior. And just in case people think that there are costs, there are costs. You may have heard recently about a gentleman named Brandon Eich. Brandon Eich in the computer industry is a hotshot guy. He's the inventor of JavaScript. If you use a browser the past decade or so, you'd be affected by the technology he invented. He was Mozilla, which is a group that makes the Firefox browser. He was their chief technology officer for a while. He got promoted recently to CEO of the organization. people found out that in 2008, Brandon Pine gave $1,000 donation in support of California's Proposition 8, a constitutional amendment to affirm biblical marriage in the state of California, $1,000 in support. So it's interesting someone kind of look at the coalition records that show you the people that are looking for these studies. There's a firestorm of protests. Some websites encourage people not to use the Firefox browser. Internal employees say that this is wrong. This guy does not represent us. We should not be in this position. And so 2 weeks after assuming this position, he stepped down. And the chairwoman of the board for this, for Mozilla, was practically tripping over herself, apologizing that they made a mistake of promotion in the first place. So, you know, this is not somehow with a minimum wage job. This is someone that has credibility in his industry. He got kicked out. He got kicked out. This is a watershed moment. This is a realist test. This is a realist test. Where is the ACLU? Where were people finding these guys' rights to express himself? They're nowhere to be found. And so if we're going to have a way with this, well, we've seen this recently, actually in Arizona. It's a month or two ago now. The legislature in Arizona passed a bill to defend small business owners who didn't want to provide services for things like the rights due to the violation of their religious beliefs. And there was a governor, a Republican governor, and I choose both the Senate and the Arizona State Law. When it went to her, however, she was inundated with demands that she veto this. From all sorts of companies, it said there wouldn't be business in Arizona, there wouldn't have their conventions in Arizona, they didn't help people to pull the Super Bowl out there within a couple of years. It was by asking Republican nominees for president, urged her to veto this bill. New Congress, too. So I say we're alone on this, but we are outsiders. Understand how much of an outsider we are. You don't vote for one of these things. I don't know what's going to happen with either party. Maybe come out great and vote for Clinton's and we'll be fighting over things like the tax policy and things like that. Who do you just vote for? But you can see those things are headed. So you think, okay. You can say, can you vote for this party because I don't like the moral things on things? Well, what about the voting parties? Have the same positions. You don't have a large party representing us. Who's going to represent us politically? This is not an isolated case. There's a young man in Maryland who wanted to go to a community college, Brandon Jenkins was his name, to be a radiologist. Why a community college of Baltimore County? He was going to do radiation therapy, applied to the program. He scored the maximum number of points in his initial test. And there was an interview he had to have with the staff. You see how there is a representative of this young man, so you can guess where this went. The school officials asked him, what is the most important thing to you? Jenkins responded, my God. He was later denied entry into the radiation therapy program. The response from the college was, I understand that religion is a major part of your life, and that was evident in your recommendation letters. However, this field is not the place for religion. If you interview in the future, you may want to leave your thoughts and beliefs out of the interview process. So this is true. Because a lot of people are telling you your private life, your beliefs, and the physical place in the workplace for that. People seem to be tricking over themselves to brag about how they celebrate the private, very private lives of some of their employees. It's all common, right? You know what we're talking about. Some are very upfront about that. And so, if you have a second kind of personal life, you can be as open as you want to be. Nobody's going to say anything. And if you are right in a dark place, you need to be quiet. You need to be quiet. He lost points during his interview process when he explained that he felt God wanted him to pursue radiation therapy for a career. Candidates who describe thoughtful consideration about what the candidate will contribute as an individual to patients and the advancement of care make far better therapists than those who are told by others, God, to pursue the field. That is, in any secular job or program interview, it is better to have a concrete reason for wanting to undertake the training at hand than to say only that God directed one to do it. Okay, maybe I'll go to a government job. What if I'm sitting here and living to protect my life and then I'll put the future laying on somewhere? The Department of Justice had a brochure that they handed out to their management to tell them how to deal with LGBT issues. Use inclusive words, partner, significant other, or spouse. Don't use husband and wife. Talk in meetings about why diversity is important to you as a manager. And make it clear you define diversity to include both sexual orientation and gender identity. Don't be vague about it. Tell people what it is exactly you're in favor of and you're supporting. Display a symbol in your office. DOJ Pride Center, or a copy of this brochure, indicating that it is a safe space. I don't know how many managers are putting crosses on their wall so Christians think it's a safe space. How many? Do you think they think a lot? Maybe some. I don't know. Do consider coming out of the closet if you are LGBT and not out at work. Oops, so much for keeping that personal life at home. The presence of viable LGBT managers communicates that your office is open and accepting, allowing encourage employees to participate in LGBT-focused professional development opportunities. Don't remain silent. Silence will be interpreted as disapproval. So it's gone beyond to discriminate. It's going beyond tolerance. It's advocacy. I applied for a job recently, but one would not think of it as a high profile position. But in that position, to be a manager, you have to be an advocate for these things. It's one of the questions that I'm asking to apply. This is everywhere. This is a litmus test. This is a litmus test. This is why I said we can't get too tired of the world. Because we're not going to be able to be light in these situations. We're going to have to stand up and we're going to have to preserve the world from corruption. But it is not going to be easy. This is not what we grew up with. This is not what we thought of in the past. If we have any misunderstanding about what the world thinks about us, we need to wipe that out of our mind. Think of yourself as a skinhead or a clansman. Because that's how the world looks at you if you talk about these issues. That's how America looks at you if you talk to me. If they find out that you went to the church where a message like this was taught, you have to explain yourself. You have to explain. You go back off that quick. Well, you know, they let this crazy guy from the congregation talk to God. I don't believe that stuff. That's what you have to do. Showing support for that. It's Trump. So this brings to the next and final point. We see where this is coming from. We see the reason for the moment. This is early demonic. This is the silence of God's word in this culture so that we are not salt and light. Because salt and light and bringing out the light of the gospel of Christ is the only place these poor people have to be saved. So, of course, the devil doesn't want to be able to hear about this stuff. Of course. He doesn't want to be reminded about morality, what God says, the consequences. and not living the way God wants us to live. And there's plenty of people that call themselves churches and organizations and all these other people that call themselves Christians. They would say, no, this is happening. It's those guys. We're like the Islamic extremists. We're like the guys that fly planes in the buildings. This is our equivalent in Christianity. We're the same males who just don't go in with it. And so, how are we going to be salt and light? Because you know what? It is going to cost a lot. At the beginning, I asked, who is willing to die for Jesus? There's a lot of things that went up. And so, it's nice to say, what do we do for Jesus? Are we willing to be embarrassed for Jesus? Are we willing to have people talk about us and say things? Are we willing to have them call us in the rooms? What if we take that job we want? What if? And I want to ask, I've actually talked to Alex about this. In the state of California, they passed a law recently of the prohibits psychological counseling for someone who wants to not be homosexual anymore. There was a lawsuit brought by Macy's for their teenager who wanted therapy. And so they had to fight to get the right to talk to a psychiatrist about this. I think New Jersey just passed a similar law. So if you want to be a psychiatrist, what are you going to do in California? You have someone come into your office, whether you have your own private practice, you work for a clinic, you get signed in the place. What are you going to tell? What if you're a business owner, and you get a four-page number, what happens when someone came to her and asks her to clear their data records? It's okay to have news, I guess. So what if you do? What if you want to own your own business? You know, like you were saving up for this, you were making plans, you were sacrificing, you were doing these things. How can you do this? How can you do this? A Christian can't own a service business if they want to stand up for their principles. All these places would be like the florist in Eastern Washington, the baker in Portland, the photographer in New Mexico. They don't have civil cases that came against them. They're just from the government. The government charged them with violations of the law. Who's going to get promotion to work? Do you decide to speak up? Do people blaspheme God? Who said more about his mouth than your speech? Do you have a religion in it? That's what we do. Yeah, this is what happens all the time. People have discussions about the marriage. What do we do? Lower our head. Go on Facebook. And we're right in return. We're not supposed to buy our time. Salt and light. There are Christians all over the world right now. They can't get jobs in their countries. Their homes are burned down. Their churches are blowing up on Easter. And they still talk to families of Christians. This has gone on throughout history, through the early church, right? Once a year, you're supposed to go and sacrifice an incense to Caesar. Caesar is curious. Caesar is Lord. Here's some little incense on fire. You can scroll it to the turn on, you're doing the same thing to those ways, and you're not going to have any trouble. But the early Christians would do it, right? Christos curious. Christ is Lord. They wouldn't do this. They wouldn't go all the time on moving. You just have to do it. It's like, what's it going to do? 2 seconds? Give this paper, you're safe. You're safe. Full of standards. Full of condemning their families, too. They're condemning their families, too. The wounds are still growing as you walk it. You're going to be a Christian? You're going to teach your kids this stuff? You're condemning them. And they did it anyway. They did it anyway. They stood up for Christ. Are we willing to do things that maybe our kids won't get any of this commitment? University of California system. How many years have we done this? We will not accept homeschooled children who are not being taught according to a curriculum approved by the University of California system. So if you're a homeschooler in California and you want your child to enroll to UC Berkeley, probably you're starting to change your mind. Or maybe to UC College. Kids forget about that. Right? Because they're not going to be indoctrinated to the previous 12 years. You're going to be able to do anything. Right? And so we're going to have to use that to get to the point where we're going to have to use So imagine you're at work, and people talk about this. Oh, my company is supporting gay men in prison, or oh, you know, we have pride in that. We are not our company doing a pride parade in San Francisco. Like, oh, great. What are you going to do? What are you going to do at that moment? Because that is the opportunity to be able to find a stand. So imagine people talking about, you know, one thing, maybe you're in the cafeteria, you're in the break room, so what are you doing? Somebody says, oh, I think it's wonderful. Well, the Bible says that's a sin. The people who willfully sin against God, they were really willful sinners, no matter what that sin is, they will go forever. And if you care about people and love people, you certainly would not encourage them to do something that will wind them up and go forever. Now imagine the looks on your co-workers' faces as they look at you. What would you think? I want to be a supervisor because I want to talk to you. The HR department might want to talk to you. You're not a team player. You thought this was you in the workplace. I hope you weren't planning on a promotion. Can I have the power of people managing other people? Are you willing to give up your jobs? Are you willing to make less money? Are you willing to have your kids go to school for maybe not the best? Are you willing to live in a bad neighborhood because that's all you can afford? Are you willing to not be part of the parents' groups? Are you willing to have other people's kids not want to come over to your house and play with your kids? There's certainly a lot of them doing. You might play at the table, and you might actually read the Bible. Are you willing to have them look at you funny? Are you willing to do all these things? I'll die for Jesus. But will we do these other things, or are we too comfortable with the world? Do we like what the world has? We're cozy in our lives. We have seven Christian people. You see, that's a cover. That's a disguise, man. No, I'm a Bible believer. That book, I believe every single word in it, literally. I think the world is 6,000 years old, give or take. You're already going to be considered an idiot for that. If you look at it, you're in a responsible position if you have a power. I think people shouldn't have sex outside of marriage. You're telling the boss that they didn't have any sense like that. And I believe encouraging people who are tempted by homosexuality to continue in their behavior is sadistic and wicked because you're encouraging them to do something that will wind them up in hell forever. You are hateful for doing that. You are hateful for encouraging people to do that. Can you say that? It's bad for them, right? Evil is good, and good is evil. Caring enough about people to tell them the danger they're in if they can escape it, it's hateful. Even good companies think so. So what are we willing to give up? Are we willing to stand up for Jesus? Imagine, we're having that conversation again. Imagine Jesus sitting right over there looking at us. He's more than that. Are you going to say something? Are you going to stand up for me? Are you willing to give it all up for me? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Give it all up for you. Do you remember what I did for you? What are we going to do? This is the time. Now is the time. It's time to be salt and light. These are three words. The stuff is wrong with people in other parts of the world. It's happening here now. We can put in the cave, we can put our life under a basket, and we'll be safe. We'll have a comfortable life, we'll have a good job, we'll have a nice house, our kids will be happy, they'll have a future, they'll have a career. No one will bother us as long as we just keep quiet. As long as there is no salt and we let the corruption of the world move forward, we can have a pleasant life and please lots of people, and then have to explain ourselves and get to heaven. There were paths, remember? What did you do? What did you do? You had an opportunity. What did you do? Did you care more about yourself or about me, and people have sent me the influence, and people are for. You have to make that decision now. This is the time that the world and the people are bringing this fight to us. We're going to have the option of opting out. We need to pray. God gives us strength. He has to give it to him through the world. He has the spirit of these things. He has the strength to do these things. This is why we need to read our Bible. We know the Word. This is how God teaches us. This is how God speaks to us. This is how God strengthens us. We're not in the world where we're crazy. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. We are in the holy Word of God. We are reading our Bible every day. You are nuts if you're not. If the battle is on, we better be ready. We have this strength, this provided for us. One of my favorite prophets is Jeremiah. I feel so bad for Jeremiah. Because God told him, come to the people, tell them to turn from their wicked ways, repent, come back to me. Otherwise, curse will come in and wipe them out. So, by the way, Jeremiah, I'm not going to listen to a thing you said. But I want you to do it anyway. People may not listen to a thing you said. We need to already be way down that Romans 1 road. And this may be gone in our society. You know what? God is still saving some. And he gives us the opportunity to the strength of his spirit and the position he puts us in to serve him in that way. And we have the choice. Are we going to serve God or are we going to serve ourselves? We have to make these decisions every day because you know that every day you encounter these things. You go in the public, you go in the supermarket, you go around your friends, people say stuff, you're saying stuff, what are you saying then? Thank God, we need God to strengthen us for this battle. Would you stand with me, please, for a closing word of prayer? Father, please, we ask for your help. This is a tough battle, and we are weak creatures. We cannot do this with our own strength. We don't have the courage to do it. We need the strengthening of your Holy Spirit, the power of your Word, to give us message of salvation through Jesus. The repentance that we require and we provide, and the obedient faith in our Savior that you have available for people who will humble themselves. Help us to be counted worthy and to be counted among the saints in other parts of the world who are giving up all for you and for all those countless saints in the last 2,000 years who have stood up for our Savior, our King, our God, Jesus Christ. Help us to be ready for battle and represent Him well, no matter what the consequences, because whatever we put up with in this world, we have eternity to look forward to. We may not get a happy ending in this life, but we know there is a happy ending after this life's over. Help us to be worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.